Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about The Wrong Side of Comfortable, a book by Amy Charity, Chasing Your Dream, Discovering Your Potential, Transform Your Life. Whoa, let's listen to all of those big words in there. The Wrong Side of Comfortable. How many times have we spoken over the years about, have we lived a life where every little thing that pings up that we're irritated about, we have to spew it on social media. It hurts. Oh, my knee doesn't work right. Go get it fixed at the doctor's. Oh, my gosh. I must be having the wrong thoughts. Somebody's telling me I'm not thinking right. Hurry up and go to a therapist. And, oh, my gosh, I'm having a great day. Oh, that must be mania. Let's go give it a pill. What is the wrong side, the right side of comfortable, the wrong side of it? What is it about that we want to push where we are in life and say, what is this life really for? Do I always want to live, you know, in between the sound barriers on the highway and I've got a beginning and an end and don't disturb my shin, you know, we're all good to go. Well, let's challenge those and see, what is the purpose of living this life? Why are we really here? And are there times when we say, you know, there's just got to be more? Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, Amy, don't you think sometimes there's varying degrees? We say there's a continuum, people that just want to get out there and enjoy life and others that just want to stay in the sound barrier, right?
I completely agree with that. And I think you can, yeah, you can see that out there with people who push limits continuously and others who you see just falling into a routine. And yeah, there are definitely those two types of people out there.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, you have, right in the beginning, it says, you know, about living a life, you don't want to live a life with regrets. And I always say, you know, what are regrets? You know, is that something that other people have said, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that, and you're saying that I did live a full life. Maybe sometimes people have a goal in life and it is to be happy, have a family, and able to say, I love to raise my grandkids, versus that's a great life for them. But also the others are saying, you know, have no prisoners, here I come. I'm like, you know, got to be roadkill behind me all the time, you know, and they're running through life, you know.
Right.
And then we say, do they really have that life that they want to live, right?
Yeah, so I think regret is an interesting one. And I think to your point, it is very personal. It's not, does somebody else, whether when you're younger, is it your parents that want you to do something, or then potentially when you're older, is it your friends or your spouse or your siblings? But how I like to look at regrets, because of course it's, you don't know, it's going to be
right,
a looking back thing, but that helped me make a lot of decisions as I was going through kind of this big transformation. Was when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, pick your year, depending on how old you are, what am I going to look back on and think, gosh, if only I had done that? And in my situation, I was in my early 30s, and I was thinking, gosh, when I'm 60, when I'm 70, do I want to look back and think that I really went far in a corporate career and found success there? Or
right,
would I rather understand the limit that I could take myself as an athlete? And in my mind, that answer was very obvious. It was crystal clear that I would have more regret if I didn't pursue the athletic path. So I always think people should try that. Think it's 20 years. What are the things you're going to say, gosh, I wish I spent some time doing that? And that's how I like to look at regrets, is really trying to fast forward.
Yeah, and it's also about what you choose too. You know, I think as parents, when you have children, you always want to say, oh, that's exciting. And you kind of, you know, when a child expresses an interest in something and you kind of guide them along, and it's almost like you've already got the puzzle made. You're just handing them the pieces at each birthday, you know.
Yes.
And then the child finds, you know, they get to be 20, 30 years old and they're saying, holy crap, how did I get here? This job sucks, you know.
Yes. I think what you're describing is so common. You're just on that line of the path of the obvious thing that comes next.
Right. And that gets to be tough because then you really do get stuck into what next, and you might not have the tools to be able to expand yourself. In other words, if you got into a job just because you had the smarts for that one or you were trained for that job or whatever, and you're saying, but I need to do something else, it's really sort of like you're going up the ladder and then down and then up the ladder and then down, you know? Because,
right.
But it's really about learning curve and expanding your – it's really expanding your inner power versus how it looks on the outside, don't you think?
I do. That was one of the things that I look around, and I have friends of all different ages, and friends in their 20s, I think, when especially if they're in, let's say, a corporate job, and they just sort of followed that next step. So you go to the best school you can get into. You accept the best job, and when I say best, maybe it's the highest paying or whatever it may be, and you just get on this path without really questioning, what am I here for? What am I meant to do? What are my talents? What are my skills? How do I combine all of those to do something that's really fulfilling to me? And I think that that's something that we don't always do. And I meet friends now in their 40s, and they say, gosh, I wish I had done something different, or how did I end up in this corporate job? And they don't feel as fulfilled as they potentially could. So that's what I like to challenge.
Yeah. But don't you think, too, to be able to recognize those skills that you did learn in that job that you didn't like, or that education that now you kicked to the curb, there were some skills there that brought you to be able to choose the next path. In other words, you know, to maybe to be able to decipher how to make a decision, to be able to say no to something, to be able to say this is how you study, or to say I can't study that way, this is the way I do it now. So I think if we look at everything as an experience along the way, instead of saying there's a beginning and end, maybe we might enjoy the ride.
Yes, I think that is such a good point to think through, and that is that's wherever you are, you're there because of all those experiences that led you somewhere. And I think that in my bike racing experience, my corporate career actually helped tremendously to help me be a better bike racer, and my age helped me from just life experiences that potentially others hadn't had yet. So that goes into all of this as well, which is you're at that point and you have all this knowledge and experience and learning, and you can start to weed out what you like and what you don't like because of those years of experience. So I find that to be such a nice way to think through things, of not that, oh, I wish I did that earlier. It's no, you're here now. Now is the time, because you have those experiences. You're ready.
And also, too, you speak in your book, again, the book is The Wrong Side of Comfortable, is that, too, you could do it at any age. You know, I think about this, we see a lot of the elders now, and they're like, oh, taking up these things that they might not have done many decades ago, because they either had kids, or they had professional jobs, or they waited till they retired, or they waited till they had money, or whatever that might be. And I think also the idea, they say, oh, well, I always wanted to be a tennis star, but now I can't because I'm 60. I think also, too, to say, can you be your tennis star? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you always have to say, I won't participate because? It's like not to let that word stop you. Don't you think that's really the most important?
It definitely is. And I think, you know, it was interesting. I spoke to a group last week, and one of the women said that she was decent at piano as a child, and she's now in her 60s. And she said, you know, I just thought all along, well, I'm too old to play piano. And she ended up just picking it up, and she got a lesson in her 60s, and she said she's finding this new fulfillment. So she probably won't go and do recitals at a national level scale, but the fact that she's kind of discovered, rediscovered something that she used to love, and she's doing it at a later age, that to me is, that's how you keep growing, that's how you keep learning, and that's how you really keep your, like, fulfillment in your life, is to not to worry about your age or the reasons why you can't do something.
And it's really about the story you create for your life, don't you think? I think sometimes when you say, I broke my leg because I fell off my bike and I really hate bikes. And kind of what you've done then is you've created a beginning and end of a scenario, put it in a box, lock and key, and set it to the side, you know. And every time that comes up, you want to drag out the box again, you know. So I think, you know, sometimes maybe shattering some of those ideas might help us get forward, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say we choose kind of how we react to what happens to us. You know, we don't choose what happens to us. And oftentimes you're dealt a rough hand, or you do have an accident. But I think that what we do choose is kind of how we see the world. And I think I do try to talk about that a lot, and it's just this air of positivity, and what can you find, what positive experiences can you find even when these things don't go well? And that is, if you can consider things that you didn't plan, your accident that happened, your setbacks, if you can think of those as learning experiences, or, okay, now I know that doesn't work, or now I know I can survive that, whatever, you know, I think if you can look at that adversity in a way that you turn it to something that is positive and helps you move forward, I think that's so valuable. That's like, those are the key lessons that you learn. Like, it's hard to know that at the time. At the time, it's like, oh, this, why did that happen? But if you can, you know, let some of that time pass and try to have a filter of positivity, or just think through what is one thing that's good is coming out of this, I think, you know, that can change your whole mindset. It twists that kind of negative experience to something that you can really learn from.
And you know what, sometimes too, we always like to say, well, I'm doing this because of this. And we already have a label on it, and we're expecting a certain outcome. And we have it all mapped out. This is how it's going to progress. This is what it's going to look like. That's the dress I'm going to wear on that day. And then I'm going to dot the I at the end of the sentence, you know. But then when we get along that path and something kind of takes us a different way, we think of it always as a negative experience, you know, sort of like, well, I really wanted to be a champion, but I get kicked off the team, or, well, they didn't like the way that I rode with the bikes or whatever, so I wasn't a team player. When really, in effect, maybe you coming off there was not meant for you to get to that end goal to be at the end of the team. Maybe it was for you to realize that and then say, okay, now what am I learning from this? Oh, that maybe I don't want to be part of the team. I want to help coach the team. Or maybe I want to go and help the team in a different way. Or maybe it was for me to learn to be able to ride, and I'm at my max now, and I'm going to take it and start a different club. In other words, take what happens or where you get, push it as far as you can, but then also understand you can take that and go into something else. In other words, all the time we say God gives us these stories, you know, and these little gifts and everything, and people say, but oh, I didn't recognize it, you know, it didn't show up the way I wanted it to. Well, can you appreciate it for the moment that you got, right?
Yeah, I think removing expectations, and this is where it gets a little tricky, because I think there's, on one hand, it's, you want to have your goals, and I really suggest that when people are going after something, they have a vision for what it's going to look like. And I do think that that is one key element. But as you're suggesting, there are points where that end picture might not be exactly what your vision was originally.
Right.
And I certainly found that in bike racing. It's funny, I originally had this vision of racing in Europe and winning this top-level World Cup race and beating out the best women in the world. And you have, it's loud and there are drones everywhere and it's this big scene. And I had that so engraved in the back of my mind of something that I was really working towards and trying to accomplish. And I have a picture, an image of doing a bike race in Colorado, and I did not win the race. In fact, I came in probably 20th, and they pulled half the field out, so I was one of the last finishers in the field that they let finish. And there was still a roaring crowd. There were still five people deep. There were still the drones above. And
right.
So it was a very different scenario. I did not win. I came nowhere near winning, but I had that same feeling of this was it. Like, this was the feeling that I wanted to have. This is my vision that I had. And so some of the details and the facts had changed, but it was still something so great to have accomplished that. And so I think you can kind of look at that as a, you know, an analogy of something else mm-hmm. in your life, which is go in there with a vision and with some hopes and work towards something big. But when a lot of the facts and the details of what are happening are different, that's okay. Like, something great still came out of that. So I think that, you know, having something that you're working towards, but being okay with different scenarios is great. Like, that's a good way to look at it is, you know, it's not the exact same outcome that I had envisioned, but this is still really good. And just being okay with that.
You know, we see this a lot in healthcare right now. There's a lot of physicians who are having a lot of transitions. They're saying, I always wanted to be a doctor, but right now the concept of a physician is pretty skewed. It's really pretty tough, especially with all the requirements. And people are getting out of it, and they're saying, this is just not what I signed up for. So I think that's a perfect example of what you get into is how you want it to appear, and then you can create it differently just for you. Also, too, you talk about, you know, and that's like in your book, you talk about crossroads. That's really when you say, you know, is this profession for me anymore? Is this job for me? Is this marriage for me? No matter what it is. And you're able to make a conscious choice and say, you know, this is not how I'm willing to play the dance. I'm ready to change the station, you know, because I think that's really important.
Yeah. So I think, kind of what my experience has been is that you take these steps towards whatever that end goal is. So if in your example of kind of being the physician, so you take those steps, you go to med school, you get into that, everything you can to get to that scenario, but at each step along the way, you evaluate, okay, mm-hmm. what are the trade-offs? What am I going to need to give up in order to continue down this path? And I think it's important to do that every step of the way. And I found in bike racing at first that my trade-offs were small, and it was, okay, I need to stop going to happy hour. I need to eat healthier. Right. There were all these little things that were not major trade-offs. And then ultimately I met that kind of the cliff that I could choose to jump off of or not. And that was, mm-hmm. do I leave a corporate job? Do I leave my husband temporarily? Do I leave my home? And that's mm-hmm. when the trade-off became massive. But I think because I was each step along the way looking at, is this still worth it? Is this still worth it? Do I still have the passion? Here's what I'm giving up. Here's what I potentially am going towards. And understanding each step along the way, is it worth it? And I think that's a good way for people to consider as they are chasing after what it is they want, is to really consciously go through, okay, this means X can't happen anymore. Am I okay with that? Can I live with that? Yes, then you proceed. So that's how I approached it, and I think it helped me to take it in bite sizes. What eventually became a major transformation, it was not overnight.
Right. It's not that you're going to just buy the farm and all of a sudden you're a farmer, you know?
Right.
And everything
exactly.
shows up. It's really about what you're willing to work with and challenge yourself to have or not have, and it's sort of like what is important in your life is material things, is other relationships that may or may not be working. Also, the idea of, you know, you write in your book about like live like a monk, almost the idea I relate that to is, what are you willing to have around you? In other words, I know there's some transition times with people, and they're like, you get your friends that'll say, oh, but you're never around. Oh, you didn't help me. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, you know that story, right? And
yeah.
you look at it and you say, are these people supporting my process, or they kind of, maybe it's just time for a different transition, you know?
Yeah, I think it
comes up all the time, and I think sometimes those are the hard ones to give up, especially when someone has married into a relationship and they formed a picture, and then all of a sudden, hey, the picture has changed, and the other says, oh, no, no way, you married me, so you bought the farm, we have to do it, and that gets really tough, right?
It definitely does, and I think, there's so many complex pieces around that, and one is it's who you surround yourself by, and are they your supporters, are they your naysayers, are they giving you constructive feedback, and that can apply to anything. So even if it's a change like leaving a spouse, you know, something like that,
right.
you can have those people around you, and you're going to have some that are like, yeah, absolutely, this hasn't been working for you, and there are going to be others that say, no, you've committed to this. So I think that surrounding yourself by the right people is it sounds very simple,
yeah.
But it's so hard, and it's such a critical piece of all of this, and that is to be able to take feedback and from people who have different opinions. And I think that, mm-hmm. you know, how I've boiled it down is you have your sort of circle of trusted friends, and this is a network of people that you know you're going to get honest feedback from, and you can rely on them in all of those times, and regardless of what decision you're going to make, if it doesn't fall in the realm of what they would normally think is the right thing to do, that they will give you that feedback, but in a way that allows you to still make a decision and go the direction you want. So I think that having those relationships is really critical in making kind of life changes, is having that network and knowing who those people are, and not just the ones who nod their heads yes and always support you, and certainly not the ones that always say no, you're doing the wrong thing. I think it's
right.
those people who give you kind of that unconditional support, but a lot of that honest feedback that you need.
You know, I was with a certain group, and the goal was to write a book at the end, and they were publishing, you know, the first day of what their thoughts or their resistance was, and immediately behind it, you know, social media, right? Immediately
oh, yeah.
behind it was, you need to do this, you should do that, this is how you do it, blah, da, da, da. And I looked at it, and I said, someone had said, well, that's conscious feedback. And I said, but really, you didn't allow that person to even get through their own path of a discovery. You've already created resistance because you expect it to play out a certain way. You know, I think sometimes we cut off people's path instead of allowing them to have it. You know, we would... You could even use the example of pain, you know. People go to the doctor for the littlest pain because they want to be, quote, out of it. And they get out of it, and then they're back to their old systems again, you know. So sometimes we look at it and we say, can we allow people to be uncomfortable? Can we allow them to have their own path? Can we allow them to find their own way without always trying to fix it, solutionize it, throw comments at them, you know? Because that really isn't – that's really not, quote, supportive. That's almost like – and it's not, I don't even want to put a label on it. It's just, that's what you see.
Yeah, I think that we're in a culture of thinking of the sort of the right and the wrong way. And, you know, with things like social media,
mm-hmm.
yeah, here's how you have to have your platform, and you have to, here's how you post and when you do this. And
mm-hmm.
and I really think it's neat when you see people who do things completely differently. They don't follow those
right.
traditional paths. And those are usually end up to be the nonconformists are the ones who end up making the change. They're not on what we refer to as just that path of here's how you do it, here's how it's for, here's how people tell you to do it, so that's what you need to do. And that's my charge all along, is to see if you can break out of that. Like, what is it that you want to do? And I think that's where we talk a little bit about it might be uncomfortable. And it usually is when you're not, if the easiest path is the one that others are telling you to do, that you is just that next logical step. And if you're kind of willing to have the courage to step off of that, what's norm, and do your own thing, it can be uncomfortable, and that can be anywhere from physical pain to emotional to financial to any sort of way that you're uncomfortable. But that is typically when you discover what it is you're meant to do, and what your talents are, and your overall kind of purpose.
But also, too, you know, sometimes pain serves a purpose. Pain is there to see how much you can expand. Pain is not always there just to stop you and make you fix something. You know, as you shared in your book, you know, you go through the pain to get to the top to see what you're made out of. I mean, it's really almost how much can you stretch your imagination? How can you stretch your physical body? How can you stretch the potential that's even there? If you don't stretch it, you know what I'm saying? In other words, if you consistently are, oh, there it is, it's another block, oh, it's another dot at the end of the sentence kind of idea, you kind of have a lot of really quick taglines, right?
My thought on what's so interesting about pushing limits is once you have sort of pushed into that next zone, that is, you become more comfortable in that zone. So what I mean by that is, let's say you're running and you're running at a 12-minute mile pace and you drop it down to an 11-minute mile pace, you all of a sudden can get to the point where you are more comfortable with going that pace because your body gets used to it. And so I think that actually works on any sort of scale. So let's say you're doing something at work and you're nervous about making a phone call or making a sales call or something along those lines. Once you do that, you've expanded what your zone of comfort is, and then you can do that again. So I think that you, as long as you continue to push those boundaries, you can get yourself to a level where you're okay with doing those things that previously were a challenge to you.
You know, I think sometimes people used to talk about therapy. They would say it's like, let's peel the onion and get to the middle. And I'm going like, that's so stupid because the inside of the onion looks the same as the outside. So dumb, you know. And it's like, just what is your point here, you know? So really yours is the opposite. It's really about expanding yourself out into the world versus, oh, let's just always like moan and groan about the old things that happened. It's about going forward in the future versus whining about the past, you know. Can't fix the past. Forget about it. I mean, move on, you know. It's going forward.
And I think it changes and it evolves. So, you know, I think my story in my 30s was bike racing. My story in my 40s might be something completely different. It doesn't even have to be athletic. Like, right now pushing different career interests. So that's what I think, if people can tap into that, which is, okay, well, what is it you're not doing that you wish you were? And start somewhere, start now, and see where it takes you. And maybe you go down a path and you wanted to get your MBA in your 40s and you decide, you know what, that's not what I wanted, but I discovered this psychology and that's what I want to do. So, you know, whatever it is, keep pushing those limits because that's where you discover what it's all about.
You know, it's the funniest thing. People would say they would ask me what I do or whatever, and I would say, well, I don't know, you know, I just, I listen to people's stories, I enjoy the mystery of the body, and I just love living life. And I say that to them, and they're like, what? And I said, well, you know, I've got 4 kids, 3 ex-husbands, I've got 4 degrees, I've probably lived in 30 places, and I'm in my 60s, so what do you really want to know? It's sort of like, yeah, they have this predispositioned idea of what they want to know. It's like, why don't you just ask it in the first place, you know? You don't really want to know what you want to know, that you've had experiences and lived your life. They don't want to know that. They want to know how you can equate to them so that they can then have a conversation. So I think that's real important, is that when you start expanding, you'll find that your conversations with other people change. You'll find that they may not wish to engage, but it's not a right or a wrong thing. It's just that things change, yes?
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that, because it's you really want to put people in boxes for what their career is. And it's funny,
right.
All through 20s and 30s, I could say, you know, I'm in financial services, I'm investor relations, and that's what defines me. And now
right.
that I've done that, and I've been a professional bike racer, and now I'm
right.
in a different career, I have a hard time saying what defines me, because my
right.
career I'm doing now is new. So when they say, oh,
yes.
you're a nonprofit, well, I'm like, yes, but that doesn't define me. That's what I'm doing now. So I think it's interesting how our tendency is to, we want to label people and put them in a box for what it is they do. And most of us don't fit in boxes, nor do we want to be
right.
in one.
Yeah, it's like
so.
You and I both, it's like, I don't know what you want me to ask. You know, I get stuck really bad on my websites. It's like, they want to say, well, I don't see this there or that there. And I'm like, well, I really don't know how to put it there, because I don't live a life of labels, and I'm sure you don't either. And
right.
it's sort of like when you live expanded lives, you don't live a life of labels. You don't live defined by a template, and you don't say, oh, you're not really a guru. Hey, whoa, follow me. What we're really saying is we're just showing you how we live life differently, you know, or just everything that's out there.
Yeah. And I always think, like, it boils down to fulfillment. Like, is what you're doing, do you feel fulfilled? Because I struggle with the word success a lot, because I think that, you know,
right.
it's easy to say, did you win or lose? Did you make $1 million a year? Like,
right.
it's easy to put some kind of boundaries around what success means. And I know that right now I'm finding fulfillment in a lot of different things. And that's, so I think that, you know, what I'm searching for, and what I encourage people to search for, is fulfillment. And then the how do you reach that is, it's going to require you to get to push your limits, to get outside of your comfort zone in any way that is meaningful to you, whether that is physically or in some other way. So I try to get people to think through, you know, make sure that that's how you feel. That's the ultimate goal. And then the how to is continuing to push on what it is that you're doing.
You know, because I speak with a lot of clients also at end of life, and I remember going to help one client, and I would be there for 5 days, and we started, and she had a goal, you know, fix me was the first day, and then it was, you know, and then I was thinking about this last night in a dream, and it was, what did that 5 days really show? And it took me up until like the third day of doing just different things in the house, like just various different things, to maybe clear the energy so I could actually ask her the question, which she was looking for. She got the answer to that question on the fifth day and passed away within the following week. So really,
oh, wow.
I think sometimes, you know, if we really look at our life, you know, we say, well, I did this and I did that and I did that and I did that. And if we really decipher it down, what you and I have done is really, we've really looked for experiences in life to see what we were made out of, to enjoy loving the outdoors, to enjoy finding out more about other people, to maybe help others in ways that you were not before. So really, those are those esoteric philosophical answers that we really live life by, and all of this other stuff is really just the labels that you have along the way.
Yeah. I think it's funny. My husband is British, and he, in England, where he's from, it's considered really kind of rude to ask people what they do. And in America, that's what you ask. That's how you figure
yeah.
out everything you need to know about somebody. And that's very normal for us. And every time he's lived here 9 years now, and every time he's asked what he does, he's like, that's so rude.
You know
why,
what? Yeah, if actually you think about it, you're asking them what they do so you can decide whether a judgment-based you're going to make if you're going to have a relationship with them or not.
Right.
Seriously, like, it's American sack.
it's funny because he's like, when they ask him that, he says, I ride my bike, I walk my dog.
Right.
And he gives them these answers that they're not used to. And I think it's great because it's kind of throwing people out for a loop. And then he's like, well, what do you do for fun? Like, how do you get outside? And so it kind of twists our norm around.
Right.
And I really like that. I like the thought of, you know, we have a lot more than where people spend their 9 to 5. Like that's where they may have ended up, but there's a lot more to it.
Right. And that's about the path that we're really, why we're here in the first place kind of idea, you know? And we think about that, you know, really going back to that again is, you know, when we're asking someone, you know, what they do, it's, you know how sometimes always people form this judgment, well, I'm not going to say what I do because, you know, I'm better than or less than, or, I'm going to ask them what they do because I want to tout my horn because I'm better than they are. I already know what they do. I looked it up on social media or, you know, I'll talk to that person because I need something from them. It's always this conquest kind of idea where do we actually have or engage in another relationship with someone else. I think sometimes when you're doing the biking, you're actually having a relationship with the earth. You're having a relationship with yourself. You're having a relationship
Definitely.
With your heart and soul versus having these petty conversations sometimes with other people where they just want to challenge you because of whatever other reason, you know, so your husband's got it right on. So,
right. Yeah. No, I think that's, you know, in my case, certainly I think that the bike is meditative for me and it's for all the things that you're describing. I think there's the wonderful physical fitness aspect of it, but it's also like you can get to the point where it's, you know, it's very serene. You're out and it's beautiful outside and you're just pedaling and the only noise you hear is your bike and your pedals and your wheels. And there's something so nice about that. So I think kind of finding that zone that you can get into, whether it is through traditional meditation or if it's through yoga or if it's through reading a book or taking a walk, but having that part where you're kind of reconnecting, I think it's really helpful for people to have.
That's really about the idea of, you know, what's lacking in your life. And people say, well, I'll go meditate because that part was lacking. And then they come out of there and they're screaming on their phone on the way getting out of that thing because they're late for an appointment and they're getting dressed at the same time, shoving down fast food on the way. You know what I mean? It's sort of like how authentic of a person are you and how authentic are you in living a life that serves yourself and others? You know, I think sometimes the way people build up the walls or the things they jump into, they wear a mask, you know, hey, I'll get dressed up for work, you know, with stilettos and everything like that. But then when you get at home in your big house and you're screaming at your kids and your husband is like, is that really working for you? Don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. You're just kind of putting on that pretense. And I think, I know it's always interesting to me that it lasts so long. I always think like, gosh, once you're out of your 20s, like, you shouldn't have that pretense anymore. Like, you haven't figured out like what it is that makes you happy and go with that.
Yeah.
And it's what we were talking about before. I think that finding what works for you, and it's funny. In my example, I was sort of on this corporate career path and lived in DC and England and all these places. And now I live in a small mountain town and work for a nonprofit. And it's just typical scale of how your life progresses, this is probably a very non-traditional path to have sort of jumped off a corporate ladder and into this into this life. And I would tell you that there's nothing in me that wishes I were rushing into work early for the corporate job and the city life. And it's and I feel so fortunate that I discovered that. I feel happy that I realize what does make me tick and what does make me feel content, and it is spending more time outdoors and being with my dogs and being, you know, prioritizing health over a lot of things. So I think that, you know, if I can encourage others to think through that. Like, what is it? What are those core values? What are those core things that matter to you and help you find your happiness and go for them? Like, make that happen. Even if you step off of a traditional path that you're on, that's okay. Like, it's amazing when you find that and you find how good it feels to kind of reach that point.
Well, I think you also have a benefit because of your age. I know many now in their 60s are saying, I can't jump off because who's going to take care of me when my memory fails in 10 years from now? Or who's going to take care of me when I have no Social Security to pay? And holy crap, I don't want to live any longer. Kick me to the bucket beforehand because my money's going to run out. You know, so a lot of people have these concepts and the ideas that they're afraid to be able to engage in that, because if they let go of that tether line, they're not sure where they're going to fall. So I think sometimes it's do the best you can in the age group you're in and be able to expand that. And to be able to say, you know, to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, I did do the best I could. That's really important too, where it doesn't have to show up like everybody else's life. It can show up as your life. And that's really why do we always have to compare what our things are about? You know, there's a group of people that I've known in, they always say they're the obituary people. They always read everybody's obituaries because then they want to talk about it, you know? And I'm going, oh, Lord, have mercy, you know? And it's, because they believe that, you know, you know, the comparisons, the ideas, you know, all that stuff, and gives them some fuel to talk to. And I think sometimes we say, is that really necessary? Can we just honor people for who they are? And really about your story, what you and I have spoken about today is really about honoring yourself where you are and letting everything else and everyone else go with their decisions or their input or their restrictions on your life. Because it's really only you, the only one that has a choice when you're living it, right?
Exactly. And that, that goes back to your no regrets is, make sure that you're doing what it is that you want to be doing, and don't worry. And it can be so simple, and it can be spending time with your grandkids. You know, it can be whatever it is that you want to be doing. Make sure that you're carving out the time to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, we've come to the end of the show. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Yes, thank you. So I've written a book called The Wrong Side of Comfortable, and it touches on a lot of these points that we've discussed. And you can find more information on my website, which is amymcharity.com.
Well, Amy, it was such a pleasure to have you to share your story with us today. I think many times people, no matter what age group they're in, they will say, you know, how can I challenge myself? Ooh, that feels kind of tough. It's like a porcupine. I don't want to do it. And what you really shared is how you can go through that and find out, you know, what you're really made out of. That's really the story it's all about.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, too.
If you'd like to find out more information about Amy Charity, and again, her book is The Wrong Side of Comfortable, Chase Your Dream, Discover Your Potential, and Transform Your Life, please do click on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And it really will be okay if you challenge yourself and something falls away, someone falls away, you move, you lose this, you lose that. Hey, look at what you're gaining. You're really gaining yourself, and it's really about the life that you want to live. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.